Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show hosts and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Ravens and Crows. My name is Alex Matsuo, and I am your host for this evening. First of all, I want to say thank you
Warning.
All so much
you
for...
You are about to enter a realm.
We're going. Oh, my goodness. So we are back after a little bit of a two-week hiatus. So, you know, because we are bi-weekly. If this is your first time tuning in, I want to say welcome and thanks for being here. And yeah, I mean, we have a full chat room over at liveparanormal.com. So all you need to do is head on over to liveparanormal.com. And there you will find a chat room and you can listen to the show live directly on the website. Hey, how convenient is that? We also have a Facebook page. So if you type in Ravens and Crows in your Facebook search toolbar, you will see our page pop up. So, like I said, if this is your first time tuning in, then I want to say welcome. And I'm really excited for tonight's show because we have quite an awesome guest tonight. Tonight we're going to have Rick Hale on, and if you don't know who he is, you're definitely going to get to know him tonight, and it is definitely a show not to be missed. So if you're tuning in live, that is awesome. So what you can do is you can listen live on liveparanormal.com. You can also get in touch with us on Facebook if you want to ask Rick a question. You can also ask in the live paranormal chat room. That will actually be the preferable way to go because that's what I'm watching right now. And yeah, so anyway, Ravens and Crows, it is a show where we talk to different paranormal investigators, researchers, and whatnot. Why do we call the show Ravens and Crows? Well, it's because sometimes people on the outside looking in see Ravens and Crows as the same thing, but they really are not. Just like how people can look at ghost hunters and paranormal investigators and researchers as the same thing as well, but there are actually lots of things out there that make them look very different. So, or make them officially very different. So anyway, without further ado, I want to go ahead and welcome Rick Hale to the show. Rick, welcome to Ravens and Crows.
Hi, Alex. Thank you for having me. Can you hear me?
How are you doing tonight, Rick?
I'm doing really
well. Yes,
I'm doing very, very well. Thank you. Thank you for asking. How are you?
Good.
Good.
I'm doing okay. Getting ready to travel for the weekend and
okay.
You know, pre-travel preparations are always a little crazy.
Oh, I know it. Especially when you have a child. We have a 7-year-old, so it's like we have to make sure that everything is just right and we don't forget any snuggle stuff at home. So I know how that is.
Oh gosh, because it's a disaster to do.
Oh yeah. Oh, it is. It's
utter
the end
chaos
of the world as we know it.
Nice. So, Rick, for those of us or those of our listeners who may not be familiar with you, would you mind just giving us, as I like to say, your origin story? How did you get into the paranormal?
Oh, sure. You know, whenever I tell this story, it always kind of sends chills down my spine because although it was almost 40 years ago, I still remember it as if it was yesterday. I grew up on the northwest side of Chicago. I actually grew up between the northern suburbs and Franklin Park and Chicago. And my grandparents, who lived in an old house in Franklin Park, was you know, for lack of a better term, haunted. And we all knew that there was something that was very, very strange with the house. You always heard, like, you know, footsteps when somebody wasn't there or things opening and closing. Well, one night I had, it was 1982. I was 8 years old, and I got up to use the bathroom, and a lot of these older flats in and near Chicago had long hallways that would lead from the front room to the kitchen. And in these long hallways, there was usually a bathroom and a bedroom. So my grandmother always left the bathroom light for us because there was no light in the hall. And I was going to the bathroom, and I was approaching it, and all of a sudden the light turned off. And I watched as a woman walked out of the bathroom. Now, the only woman in the house at the time was my grandmother. And my grandmother, she was a very short Native American woman. This was a very tall Caucasian woman. And she just walked out, looked down at me, and said with a very thick Irish accent, "My, what a fine young lad." And she touched my chin. And then I watched as she walked, as she turned and then walked toward the kitchen. But as she was walking away, she just sort of vanished. So my introduction into the world of the paranormal, I like to think, was a very positive one. And I've taken that with me since that time.
Yeah, one of the finer stories that I've heard of people's paranormal experiences. Usually their first one can be terrifying, but this one, wow.
Sure.
So did you ever find out who the woman was?
Yeah, actually we know exactly who the woman was. It was Mrs. McNett. She was the wife of the man who owned the building that my grandparents lived in. And they were a very nice, sweet Irish couple. And she had died, I think it was like 10 or 12 years before I had had this experience. And, you know, one of the things that I've always taken with me from this is that although everybody in the family had had, you know, even extended family who were visiting had had some kind of experience in the house, it was only my grandmother and I that ever actually saw Mrs. McNett.
Wow. Huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's neat. I mean, that's actually really neat. You don't get a lot of stories like that these days. So, wow.
It was pretty cool. Oh, my wife just came home from work.
Yeah, so just...
So sorry
about
wife. That.
Oh, you're fine.
Okay.
Nice. So where did your career basically take you? Because, you know, we have, you know, where it all started. What made you to decide, like, okay, this is something I really want to pursue? I mean, because you've done so much in the field. I mean, you've written books, written a book, and you have another one coming out soon. I mean,
correct.
You do so much writing for it and investigating. What made you to decide to make this such a huge part of your life?
Well, you know, I think that because of having, you know, such an experience at a young age, it was, you know, it was one of those, you know, the thug life chose me. You know, it was, you know, I feel that it's something that chose me. From about the time of 1982 to 1991 was the time where, you know, I learned pretty much everything that I could through reading books, you know, going to the library several times a week and taking books out. But it wasn't until 1991 when my first investigation happened quite by accident, actually. A friend of mine who was a very religious person. She was a Christian, and she was involved with a ministry that helped teenagers escape from occult and cult type situations. Mm-hmm. And one of the girls
Oh, wow.
that, yeah, one of the girls that she was helping to rescue was staying with her, and this girl had brought something with her. So, you know, it's 1991. I'm 17
yeah.
years old at the time. You know, it's like 17-year-olds
mm-hmm.
should not be, you know, investigating hauntings. 17-year-olds should be out with their girlfriends or working part-time jobs or doing homework or whatever. So she asked me to come over to the house after telling me what this girl had told her. And so I went over, and it wasn't till about maybe 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, somewhere around there, where everybody was asleep. I was in the house. I was just sitting there waiting to happen. Now, this is back in the day before we had all this really awesome equipment, and, you know, we were, you know, an investigation was kind of an intrusive thing. This was back in the day where it was still very traditional in the sense, you know, of like of British investigations where you sit vigil, basically waiting for something to happen, which is something that I still do. And,
mm-hmm.
About 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, the girl says, she's like, Rick, they're here. So I get up and I walk into the other room where she's sleeping. And the temperature in the room just dropped. Now, keep in mind, this is Northern Illinois in September. In fact, I'm coming up on my anniversary here in a couple of weeks for my first investigation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was in a mobile home, and it was very hot, very humid outside, and they didn't have air conditioning. So for this room to be 20 to 30 degrees colder than what it should have been was remarkable, to say the least. So I'm standing there, and
that's not normal.
That's not normal. So, you know, I can feel that there is something there with me. My skin is all prickly, and the air feels charged. And I start addressing what is in the room with us. And now, keep in mind, I don't remember exactly the words that I say. I only remember the circumstances. And all of a sudden, this great big black form just suddenly appeared in front of me and
oh, wow.
pushed me. Now, whether or not it was an actual physical touch or it was psychokinesis, I'm going to go with psychokinesis, and I'm going to explain why. And, you know, I fell over. So this was my first investigation, and the reason that I believe it's psychokinesis is because I believe that this girl was was the focus for poltergeist energy or a recurrent spontaneous psychokinesis. I don't believe that this was a entity in
gotcha.
The strictest sense of the word. You know, a lot of people are, well, that was a demon. Well, no, it wasn't a demon. This girl had created this being in her mind, and through the recurrent spontaneous psychokinesis projected it
mm-hmm.
into the environment. And that's what, you know, attacked me. And so, you know, essentially it was her unwittingly attacking me by using this ability as a proxy. And, you know, ever since then, I have done investigations, and I think it's like September 17th. You know, I'm coming up on 27 years of investigating claims of ghosts and hauntings.
Wow. Well, happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Oh, wow. What a milestone. That's really awesome, though.
Yeah, you know, it took me a really long time to, you know, formulate a theory on what it is that I had experienced. And, you know, now 27 years later, being a middle-aged man, you know, I look back on it and I think to myself, it's like, yeah, I had dealt with a legitimate poltergeist. I have
mm-hmm.
no doubt about that whatsoever.
Wow. Whew. Well, that's and that was your first investigation, or one of your
first
investigations?
No, that was my very
okay.
first investigation. So it was like it was a baptism by fire of sorts.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. I'm like,
Well, I mean, some people's first investigations, like, you know, the little ghost hunts, like, by, you know, local tourists, you know, in, like, big cities or, you know, going to, like some sort of event. But no, you just dove in head first.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, back then we didn't really have that kind of stuff. To be perfectly honest with you, when I really started in the field investigating, this was back in the early to mid-90s, so mm-hmm. I really honestly did believe that I was the only guy doing this that didn't have a PhD attached to his name. You know, this was back mm-hmm. when, you know, guys like Lloyd Auerbach and Barry Taff, they were huge in the field. And, you know, we didn't have back then all the great stuff that we have now, you know. Sure, of course there were ghost tours. Chicago has had ghost tours since the 70s when Richard Crowe started them. And but not like we have today. We have a lot more resources at our disposal these days.
Mhm. Oh yeah, no, I completely agree. I mean, granted I don't really remember much from the early 90s cuz I was like 5. But if I made anyone feel old right now, I'm really sorry. but I came into that generation where Ghost Hunters had come out, and so we're talking like early 2000s. So I'm like about a decade behind you there. And it's really interesting to see the differences between just 10 years, how much the field has changed.
Oh yeah, it's changed by leaps and bounds. Some of it has been great, and, you know, some of it not so great. But, you know, you take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and they're the facts of life. I mean, that's just, sing a song from an 80s sitcom. But, you know, that's exactly what it is, and you're going to get that in anything.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. No, I completely agree with that. So, off the top of your head, how many cases or investigations do you think that you've worked on since you started?
I don't know. I mean, I can't. I've never really, you know, in the book that I have coming out, that's it's coming out actually October 20th, and it's being published by. Okay, now it looks like Bayul Athris Publishing. It's out of Scotland, but it's actually mm-hmm. pronounced Abayul Ayirsh. It's a Gaelic word. It means folklore.
That's some Gaelic spelling right there then.
Yeah, I know. I feel really horrible, and if my publisher Mandy Collins is listening right now, I'm so sorry if I mispronounced it. But, in that book, I talk about several of the cases that, you know, were significant to me. And the book is divided up in you get an investigation and then you get a lesson, because it's mm-hmm. about it's a number of my own personal investigations that I've done over the years, as well as the things that I've learned through my experiences. And, you know, even learning from other paranormal investigators over the years.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so if
nice.
You're interested, yeah, I mean, so, I mean, if you or your listeners are interested in purchasing that, so you can, you know, read a little bit about some of the investigations that I've done, it comes out, it's being released October 20th. But to put a number on how many investigations, I don't want to seem disingenuous by giving a wrong number. I'm not going to be one of those people that's like, oh, you know, I've done 1,000 investigations. It's like, dude, seriously, come on, man. You know, it's just not possible. So I would rather just say I've done a lot of investigations, but I don't want to put a number on it.
Yeah. No, I don't blame you. I mean, a lot of people in the field take themselves way too seriously, or they count it up to like the second or the minutes of how many investigations they've done or how long they've been investigating. And sometimes, I mean, when someone's been in the field for as long as you have, though, I am curious about that number, just because, you know, mm-hmm. you never know. I'm like, nice. Well, that's not, the book sounds really interesting. So I like the idea of having a story and then a lesson, or the story then a lesson. I think that would be really, yeah. really interesting to read. And that comes out October
20th, and it is called Behold, Shocking True Tales of Terror, .. and some other spooky stuff.
Nice. I like that. Very dramatic and creative.
Yeah, you know, one thing I try not to do is I try not to take myself too seriously, because I think that there's enough of the spookiness and, oh my God, that's terrifying and frightening in this field that, you know, I just kind of want to lighten things up a little bit. And believe me, I've been taken to task by a few people on that, but it's like, you know, hey man, life is short, and you know, if you're gonna take yourself so seriously, you know, you're gonna burn out quick.
Oh, for sure, for sure. And I've noticed, especially when people are so worried about what others are doing. Now, granted, there is a line where, you know, people should be called out for certain things, but I've just seen several people just get so up in arms about what other people are doing with their investigations or with their like research and methodologies. And I'm just like, y'all are going to give yourselves a stroke in the next year if you don't chill out. Like,
just keep doing your
own thing, and your work will show for itself.
Exactly. And you know, and you see a lot of that drama, and you see a lot of the backstabbing, and you see a lot of the dishonesty, and it's like, you know, I'm going to, you know, be honest with people. This is not going to make you rich. This is not going to make you famous. Mm-hmm. That ship has kind of sailed with this over the last, I would say, maybe 2 or 3 years. And it's very rare right now that producers are even commissioning new television shows to put out there. I mean, you really have got to be in there. You really have got to know people, even if you just want to get like a guest spot in a documentary. And, but it's like you got to ask yourself, what exactly are you in this for? Are you in this because you want to understand a great mystery that concerns all of us? Or are you in it because you think it's going to, like, you know, make you money? If you're in it for that reason, you're kind of like in it for the wrong reasons.
Yeah. You know, it's totally true because, I mean, things have drastically changed, especially in the paranormal entertainment realm, as you said, in the last 2 or 3 years. I mean, because we see new shows come up. I mean, even Rob Lowe's show, I think that ended up getting canceled. I mean, and he's an established celebrity, and if he can't make it fly with a show, I mean, who's to say Joe Blow from down the street can do it with his own show? So it's really interesting how there are still people getting into this to try to get a show, and it's like, and I know I'm one to talk right now because I have a TV spot hopefully coming up in October. That is if they don't cut my segment, but that's still the thing. Like you could, thank you. But you could still film something and they could not like it and not put it on the show. But we got that just by pure luck. Like some random producer found one of our historical research videos on, I believe it was Old South Pittsburgh Hospital, and contacted my historian through that. And I mean, just complete dumb luck. It wasn't even because of a paranormal video we posted. It was a research video.
Right.
So, that's awesome. And that never happened.
Yeah.
It never happened.
Congratulations. Oh. And I hope that works for you.
Thanks. Well, we'll see. We'll
and I mean
see
that. I really
month.
Do, you know. Yeah, I really do. I mean,
thank you. Controversial and such. I know I sent you the link for this earlier, but we got a lot of people having some reactions over the ghost hunt box set. If any of y'all are on social media, if you want to see the kerfuffles I'm talking about, there is. So For the listeners who are not familiar with this, you're probably familiar with those monthly subscription boxes that you can get. I mean, gosh, there's one for Disney, mm-hmm. there's one for clothes, there's one for like movie stuff, there's one for geek culture, Marvel, DC. You know, every month you get like, it could be like jewelry, clothes, just some sort of monthly box of trinkets or, you know, stuff.
Right.
I have a cat lady box. You know, it comes with like cat toys and treats and food samples and, you know,
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, but now we can literally say there's a box out here for everyone. But apparently, there's a ghost hunt box that is going to be coming out. And I know what everyone's thinking. How does that work? So apparently. Right. I don't know who the company is. I don't know if there's a team behind this, but apparently they're working with like 20th Century Fox and Penguin Random House. We've produced mystery experiences for blockbuster movies. USA Today picked us for their top 10 list. So obviously it's some sort of company. I don't know if they're directly involved in paranormal stuff, but they're really like, they're going to be doing a monthly ghost hunt box. And apparently they're doing things like, they've sent field teams to investigate haunted locations like the Queen Mary, yep. Alcatraz, Penhurst, and they'll send a box to you from their field team with photographs, audio, and video recordings, physical objects relating to the haunting and documentation of paranormal activity, results of their on-site investigations, interviews of people who witnessed apparitions, and more. And you'll use the contents of the ghost hunt box to finish the investigation and solve the mystery of the haunting. So, so this is interesting. So I don't know if this is like a game or if it's like, this is a legit ghost hunting experience. And I'm wondering who the field teams are. I mean, cause I mean, I think something like this, we would have heard it from a few people along the grapevine, you know?
Sure.
Let's see. Yeah, I mean, go ahead.
I was just going to say, until you sent me the link for it in Facebook Messenger, I had never heard of anything like this before.
You know, it's interesting, too, because I guess with their ghost hunt box for the Winchester house, they included photographs of the mansion, a letter written by Sarah Winchester in 1896, a photo of an apparition documented by the team, infrared imaging report of an unusual disturbance, replica of an object recovered from a third floor bedroom, newspaper articles of the late 1800s about important events, and a letter written by a household servant, field reports documenting paranormal activity, the Paranormal Dispatch newspaper, a photograph of the Winchester House servant, a morning card. So, I mean, this box has a lot. Diary entry, field team notebook, interviews with witnesses. And for those of you who are curious about this, it's $30 a month plus $5 shipping and handling. So you're looking at $35 a month for this.
Right.
I mean, it's cheaper than going to one of the really big paranormal events. You know, those are usually like $50 to $100, $200 bucks.
Oh, yeah.
So, And obviously, as I'm reading this, I mean, we're looking at this for entertainment. I think if you have someone but you made a really good point about this, you know, for people who can't go out there and investigate, this is another opportunity for them to be involved.
Yeah. See, and that's, okay, first off, I will be the first one to tell you that if you are going to go on an investigation, you know, being involved in an investigation is, it's a very personal thing. However, at the same time, I know that you know this, but you know, many of your listeners might know this, but I am a disabled person. In 2016, I lost my left leg below the knee to a, very nasty and rare form of cancer. And, so I think that something like this is great for people who are significantly disabled because, you know, supernatural, the paranormal, ghost, whatever you want to refer to it as, it's something that affects all of us. And I'm lucky I have a prosthetic leg that I wear and that I'm able to, you know, live, you know, a life. I mean, yes, there is struggle. Yes, there are challenges. But I'm able to still do things. you have a lot of people who are in wheelchairs and they can't. So mm-hmm. I think that with something like, I think that this is great because if they want to spend their money, I would never tell anybody how to or not to spend their money. That's none of my business. But I mean, if you want to be involved in some way and experience this in a real way, this may be your way to do that. So I think that this is mm-hmm. great for people who are, you know, significantly disabled. But can we really trust the source? You know what I'm saying? I always like to mm-hmm. think the best of people. So I'm really honestly hoping that whomever these teams are and whomever it is that owns this and operates this is being honest. I have no reason to not believe they're not being honest. I have no reason to believe they're being dishonest at all. I just hope mm-hmm. that when they do present this to people, that this is not just something, I'm going to take your money and I'm going to send you bullshit, pardon my language.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really honestly hoping that this is something that is above board and is going to give, you know, people like myself or people who are, you know, who might not be able to get out of the house, that this will, you know, give them more of an opportunity and an opening to all of this.
Mhm. Yeah. No, I mean, I like what you said about that. I mean, if the people behind it, you know, do have, you know, good intentions with it and they're honest with it, then I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too.
I keep trying to see if I can find the company behind it, but I haven't had much luck with it because the website is on Cratejoy, but if you want to start a box, you just have to join Cratejoy and that's it.
mm-hmm. Right.
So it's pretty easy, but yeah, and the company apparently they're just called Ghost Hunt HQ. So it's interesting. Okay. I know a few people who are going to sign up for it because they're going to do reviews and such, and I'm going to mm-hmm. be really curious of what's in these boxes. And I have a friend who runs a subscription box business, and they're a lot of work. So,
I imagine they are.
Yeah, they are because you have to put all these boxes together, and if you have like hundreds of subscriptions each month, I mean, you have to find the product to stuff the boxes with. And I mean, I'm sure because people are wondering where is this $35, where is it going to? And I'm like, well, shipping, it's probably going towards labor. Sure, some of the things included in this box probably cost a buck or two, but you still have labor.
Right. And I'm sure that, you know, the teams are, you know, getting a little bit of, you know, a little pay. And you know what? And there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, you know, I mean, I write books and I get paid when I sell, well, when I'm, you know, lucky enough to sell a book. So, you know, mm-hmm. I just don't see anything wrong with that as long as you're being honest and, you know, not trying to screw people out of their money.
Yep. That's how I feel. That's actually how I feel about it too. A lot of people are getting up in arms about it, but I'm like you said, you can't really tell people how to spend their money.
No, I would never dream of that you shouldn't buy that, you know, because that's a poor way to spend your money. It's like, I'd be like, up yours, man. It's my money, you know?
You don't know my life.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I'll be curious because I'm sure if, you know, if this company doesn't fulfill their obligations, I mean, I know we're going to hear about it, so, because, you know.
Of course.
It's drama.
And I hope we do. Right. And I hope we do. Because if they're not going to fulfill their end of the bargain, then they shouldn't get paid, and then they should have to deal with the consequences that arise from that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the oldest rule of the universe, cause and effect. You know, that's, you know, yin and yang. That's just the way it is.
Yep. Well, stay tuned, everyone. Well, I guess we'll hopefully find out in the next month or two.
Right.
The exciting conclusion, the Ghost Hunt Box mystery.
The Ghost Hunt Box.
Next episode. For real, though. Nice. Okay. So let's see. Besides your book coming up and such, what do you have anything else planned for 2018 or even 2019?
Well, recently I've just been named associate editor of SpookyIsles.com, which is kind of funny because, yeah, SpookyIsles.com, it's a website run by David Saunderson, swell guy, and it's all about haunted locations in the United Kingdom and Ireland. I've never been to the United Kingdom, Ireland, but I do know quite a bit about, you know, the haunted places, because when I was a kid growing up, you know, again, you couldn't just walk into a bookstore or a library and find, you know, stacks and stacks of books on haunted locations across the United States. My introduction to paranormal literature was, you know, for guys like, you know, Hans Holzer was you know, German-American. But guys like Elliot O'Donnell and Guy Lyon Playfair and Harry Price, who were English investigators and paranormal authors. So it's like I loved the English ghost story almost immediately. So when I started writing for the Spooky Isles, I guess that I, at the time, I'm not so much sure now, but I think I'm still the only American that actually writes for the website. But currently I'm working on a huge project for SpookyIsles.com. It's a travel blog, more or less, of all the haunted hotels and inns across the United Kingdom. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's really great. I mean, you know, I just finished one today on Brownsover Hall Hotel in Rugby, Warwickshire. And it's probably one of the most bizarre stories that I've ever heard, where a exorcism was actually done back in the 18th century to get rid of this ghost called One-Handed Boughton. And it was 12 clergymen. They were from the Protestant and Catholic tradition. They were brought into the house by the Boughton family to get rid of this ghost. So they brought this blessed bottle with, and they were able to persuade this extraordinarily nasty spirit to get into this bottle. So they took the bottle after trapping the ghost, and they threw it into a lake. About 100 years later, some fishermen discovered the bottle, opened it, thinking that there was going to be something great in it, and this unleashed the ghost of One-Handed Boughton back to Brownsover Hall, at the time it was called the Manor of Brownsover, and to, you know, haunt the building once again. Now, it would be easy to just, you know, dismiss this story as a tall tale. Wouldn't you agree? Yeah. Well, but the thing is what it's now Brownsover Hall Hotel is legitimately haunted, and people have seen the ghost of a one-handed man who is believed to be the spirit of Sir Theodosius Boughton, who was murdered by his brother-in-law in a fit of rage. And he, you know, does the typical, you know, moans and anguished groans and appears and scares the hell out of people. But, you know, still this hotel in Rugby, Warwickshire is a very popular venue for things like weddings and conferences and, you know, people to stay there with their family. So, you know, whether or not they actually run into this ghost of One-Handed Boughton, you know, I don't know. I've never been there. But it certainly sounds interesting, to say the least.
Wow. Yeah, no, that sounds really fascinating. Now I'm like, oh, tell me more. But yeah, no, that's really cool. There's a whole world out there of, like, paranormal research that, I mean, especially in the States, like, we're not saying we're all kind of stuck in the Zach Bagans ghost hunter time warp, but
yeah.
But there's a lot out there that's so much more than what we see in conventional TV shows and such. And that's just all so fascinating. God, I love this field. Anyway.
Yeah. I do too. I wouldn't have been in it for as long as I have.
Yeah. I know, right? Gosh. I mean, 27 years, that's a while. that's a long time to be putting up with some of the shenanigans this field has sometimes.
Yeah, but you know what? I try and stay above it. I think that there is an unfair amount of exclusion that does happen.
Mm.
I've heard recently a colleague of mine and I, we were having a chat, and she said that she was being excluded from things because of her political leanings. And I don't want to turn this into a political thing, but it's really unfortunate that people are being excluded because of, say, that, or, you know, they don't agree with, as you know, you say, you know, the Zach Bagans and all that. I know that he is like the reigning paranormal god at the moment. And, you know, I was actually told by a fairly famous paranormal researcher, I'm not going to name his name. And he told me, he's like, you know, Rick, you are on a list. And I'm like, well, what are you talking about? And he's like, well, if you disagree with anybody in the field, like Zach Bagans or the Warrens or, you know, John Zappas, if you criticize them in any way, you are put on a more or less does not play well with others list. And it's like, do you mean to tell me that I'm not allowed to question the findings of people who are supposed to be colleagues and peers because they've been on television and that somehow makes them experts? That just doesn't seem fair. But, you know, whether or not there is an actual, and apparently there is, you know, I don't know. And I think it's unfortunate that people do get excluded from doing bigger and better things just because they happen to question. You know, it's like my Facebook page, you know, and I was like, and I said, you know, remember, kids, if you want to get ahead in this field, keep your head down, your mouth shut, and question nothing. And it shouldn't be that way. It's not supposed to be that way. I mean, sure, there have always been disagreements. I mean, look at, you know, poor Harry Price, for example. He was kicked out of the Society for Psychical Research because they didn't like the way that he conducted the investigation of Borley Rectory back in, it was like 1947 or 1941, back in the 40s, back in the 1940s, you know, they kicked his ass out. Like, we don't want you here. Or when Guy Lion Playfair and Maurice Gross were the actual investigators of the Enfield poltergeist, you know, they were getting ready to toss Maurice Gross out on his ass because they didn't like the way that he was conducting. And actually, when Guy Lion Playfair, when he showed up to do the investigation, he was not there to play nice. He was supposed to question everything that Maurice was doing and PR. And that's, see, it's always been there. But now we have things like social media, and, you know, Warfield happens in social media. People's reputations get ruined. Things get said about them, and it's just, it shouldn't be that way. We should all be able to come together and say, hey, you know what? I disagree with your findings, and here's why. And it's okay if you disagree with my findings. I mean, I've been questioned. One guy I actually did have to unfriend and block from Facebook because he straight up called me a liar about something. And it's like, no, I made a mistake. Yeah, but that doesn't necessarily make me a liar. And and it's like, you should be able to look at each other and say, I don't agree with this. Why don't you show me more? Or maybe we can learn something from one another. I mean, people, they talk about para-unity and it sounds good on paper, and it sounds great when it's spoken from stages at Paracons, but it's like, put that stuff into practice. Make it practical out in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
And it just doesn't. And it's really sad that, you know, that character assassination is, you know, now involved. And it's just, I don't even have the words to express how I feel. I will just say it's just very sad. Hashtag sad, you know.
Yeah. No, I completely agree with you. It's turned into this, you're not allowed to disagree with anybody. And I mean, just my little paradrama debacle that happened just last week. I mean, it turned into something completely different from my original intention of the post because somebody interpreted it wrong. And I was like, whoa, I'm not trying to criticize this person. I'm just trying to point out something problematic with a certain word that's involved in a phrase that I saw.
I think that you and I were pretty much on the same page concerning that.
Yep. And probably the listeners who don't know are probably like, what? What happened? but it's true though. And it was interesting because it was almost like as I was trying to clarify or validate, like no one was really listening. It was like, oh, well, but I like this person, so it doesn't matter. Or I wear X, Y, and Z, so it doesn't matter. It's like, no. Can we have a conversation about the word? Like, about this word that's used. I mean, can we talk about this? I just find it really interesting. Like, don't you dare speak out about certain things. Cause you're right. I mean, it's like you're put on a list, so to speak. And, it's just really interesting. It's like a very clicky club in some sort of way.
But you know what, again, it's always been that way. Always.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even going back to the days of the 1860s with the London Ghost Club, or the 1880s with the, you know, the formation of the Society for Psychical Research, which, you know, they're two of the oldest organizations. These problems have always been there. The only problem is now we're more aware of it because of Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and whatever else is out there. It's, you know, we're just made more aware of it now.
Yep, exactly. All right. Well, Rick, we are coming to about that time. So
all right.
Thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule and to come chat with me tonight.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Always. So, Rick, where can people find you if they want to social media or they want to pick up your book? Where can they go?
Well, you can find me on Facebook. I don't do Twitter. I hate Twitter and think it's completely pointless. But they can find me on Facebook just at Rick Hale, or they can find, you know, me on Facebook through you. My first book can be found on Amazon. It's called The Geek's Guide to the Strange and Unusual, Poltergeist, Ghosts, and Demons. And October 20th, my next book, Behold, Shocking True Tales of Terror, and some other spooky stuff is going to be released. You'll be able to find that at Amazon as well. And you can also come and find me at paranormalunderground.net, online magazine that I write for every once in a while. And you can find me regularly at spookyisles.com. And if you want to see me in action, check out Ghost Tapes 2 at YouTube. And, you know, a few of the episodes of Ghost Tapes, the series. It was a very short-lived YouTube thing, but it was, you know, done really well by a good friend of mine, Luke Millette. And so that's basically where you can find me.
Excellent. Good. All right. Well, Rick, have a fantastic night, and I look forward to having you on again soon.
I would love to, anytime.
Have a great night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, everybody, that was the awesome Rick Hale, and you can see why I love having him on my show, because he is a wealth of knowledge, and he has a lot of experience in the field, so definitely a good guy to connect with and, you know, look up and check out his books. All right, everyone, so we will be back in 2 weeks. We are going to have Maria Schmidt on the show. She is the amazing power person behind the world's largest ghost hunt and National Ghost Hunting Day that is coming up at the end of this month, actually. So be sure to tune in on September 20th at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, same time, same channel, and get to know why the world's largest ghost hunt is back again for a third year and what they're up to for next time. All right, everyone, thanks so much for listening. Be sure to find us on Facebook and like our page, and make sure you all keep your eyes and your mind open and heed the call, everybody.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.